Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
All right, so we're talking about crappy love songs. We're talking about what do we do when love goes bad. And today we're going to talk about marriage. What do we do when marriage kind of goes bad? And if you're not married, if you're more in the dating stage of life, we are not ignoring you, okay? First, because you need to hear this too. I mean, someday you may get married. And if you are, I'll tell you this. There are going to be a lot of people today who are married who are thinking, why didn't somebody tell me this before I got married? So it's cool that you're getting to hear it now. Also, you might have kids or you may have friends someday who get married and they may turn to you for advice. And it's going to be nice for you to have some good wisdom to give them. And in the future, we'll do messages on dating. But today we're going to talk about marriage. And so you're not left out if you're dating, okay? And you know, dating is such an exciting time, isn't it? But like when you're dating, you're meeting new people and there might be attraction and, you know, there might be butterflies in your stomach and you're doing all kinds of things to kind of pursue this other person, right? We kind of put on our best clothes and make sure our hair looks good and we're, willing to watch the game even if we don't like the game. And we're willing to go out to the chick flick even if we don't like that kind of movie. And we're writing poetry to the person and we're, you know, smiling and trying to be funny. And when you're in that kind of stage of life, in that dating phase, you'll be driving down the road. And if you're in love, there are certain songs that will kind of capture your attention and make you go, oh, you know, this is us, right? Like you'll hear the song, if you listen to the oldie station, maybe you'll hear, because you're every woman in the world to me. And you're like, right? Or you'll hear this song, when I see your face, there's not a thing. And you're like, or Celine Dion, near, far, where, and you're like, how did Celine know about us? Like, how, when she wrote that song, how did she know? You know, because it's like you're in love and there's butterflies and it's very exciting. And that's dating. But today we're going to talk about marriage. And marriage can and should be awesome, but it's not always that way, is it? I mean, let's just be honest. You know, in fact, there are a lot of people who would say marriage is when everything changes, right? Marriage is when, like, the butterflies die in the stomach and the trajectory of the relationship just kind of changes and you stop, you know, doing all those things. And it's just very different. And you see this all over the place, this idea. Like, for instance, I don't know if you've ever, like, inspected the card selection at the store, but it's interesting. If you look like in the romance section, they'll have cards that are meant kind of for dating people, and they're always very like poetic and fiery. It'll be like, our love is a fire. May it never be extinguished. And you're like, yeah. Or there'll be a card that says, the day I met you was the day that I began to breathe. And you're like, oh. But then you look at the married romance section, and it's totally different. Like the cards that are meant for wives from the husband, and it will be like, I know I never tell you, but that doesn't mean I don't love you. Happy Valentine's Day. Okay? Or it will say, I know I suck as a father, but happy Mother's Day. Right? Or my mistress reminded me to get you this anniversary card. Just not good cards. And a lot of people think exactly, you know, that's marriage, you know? That's marriage. It's when, like, things just start changing and going downhill. But here's what I believe. I believe that there's better for our marriages. For those of us who are married or will get married, I believe that God has something better in mind for our marriages. Like, I don't think God's designed for marriage. And I don't think when God thought of your marriage, which may be a thought you've never had before, that God knew you would get married and God thought about your marriage. When he thought about your marriage, I don't think God thought, you know what, they're going to be miserable, but hopefully they'll stick it out. You know, that's probably not God's grand design for your marriage. Yeah, they'll hate each other, but hopefully they won't get divorced. You know, that's not what God has in mind. I think that God has a much better design and desire and dream for your marriage. Not just for marriage, but for your marriage. But I think for you to see God's design and his desire come into reality in your life, in your marriage, whether it's now or someday in the future, if you're dating, I think maybe some things will have to change. Maybe you'll have to do things different. You know, a lot of us, I think we think that marriage is the problem. Right? A lot of people think it's just marriage, you know, like when you're dating, everything's great, but when you get married, it's just that's when things go downhill. In fact, some people will avoid marriage. They're like, I'm never getting married, because they think marriage is the problem, and so why would I put myself in that situation? But here's the deal. Marriage is not the problem. How we do marriage is the problem. Okay? Marriage is not the problem. How we do marriage is the problem. And so today, I want to suggest a principle to you that you can apply to your marriage, and it will totally change your marriage. And if your marriage is in a really bad place, you know, like, because, you know, the deal with this is, like, when you get to that bad place, have you ever noticed that, like, you're driving down the road and a different kind of song catches your attention? It's not Celine Dion anymore. Like, you're driving down the road, and you'll hear this song, It's So Funny How We Don't Talk Anymore. And you're like, that's all right. Or you'll hear this song, She Lies and Says She's in Love with Him. And you're like, that's our song, honey. You know. Or you'll hear, I used to love her, but I had to kill her. And you're like, how did Axel know about us when he wrote that song? Like, how did he know? And we think it's marriage. Marriage is the problem. But marriage is not the problem. And so today, I want to suggest a different way of doing marriage. And I think if your marriage is in that place where Axl Rose is singing your song, it can help change your marriage to more of a near, far, wherever you are kind of marriage. And if your marriage is going really well right now, it will help your marriage to stay great. All right? And so let's talk about this. The different way I want to suggest that you do marriage is that you continue to pursue your spouse after you've already got your spouse. That you would continue to kind of be on the prowl for your spouse even after you already have caught your spouse. See, I think the problem, the way we do marriage that's wrong and leads to all the crappy love songs, is that we view marriage as an end. You know, it's like I was in pursuit of my spouse, and so I was willing to dress up and look nice and watch the game with him because he likes the game, or go to the movie with her that she likes. And we would sit and we would talk for hours, and we would go out on dates, and we would do all this stuff together. But once I got my spouse, it's like, okay, I'm done. Right? I did marriage, and so now I'm done. And so I can kind of check off marriage off of the list and move on to pursuing other things. My MBA, you know, my career. Learning how to play guitar. You know, now I can pursue other things because I've already got the spouse. But that's the problem. That's the problem. And so what we need to do is marriage in a different way, where we continue to pursue our spouse even after we already have our spouse. That we continue to talk for hours, and we continue to go out on dates, and we continue to try to look good, and we continue to try to make her laugh, and we continue to be willing to let, you know, watch the football game with him even though we don't like it. We continue to buy her flowers, and we continue to pursue our spouse even after we already have our spouse. Now, it's real hard to think this way, which is why so many marriages aren't that good, right? Because it's just not natural, right? I mean, in life, when you catch something, you've got it. It's over, right? Like when a cop pursues and finally captures the bad guy and he's putting him in handcuffs, he never says, you know what, that was really fun. I'm just going to let you go and keep pursuing you. Ready? I'll give you like 10 seconds. Go. You know, you don't do that, because when you catch something, you've got it. It's over, right? And so we apply that principle to marriage, and we say, I gotcha. I don't need to keep looking good. I don't need to make you laugh. I don't need to write you poetry. We don't need to go on dates. We've got this, right? No. Even though you've made a commitment to each other, and even though you took vows, which should mean we no longer have to pursue each other, still, you should continue to pursue each other, even after you've already got each other. Because here's the deal. The things that helped you to fall in love are the things that will help you to stay in love. And if you stop doing all the things that helped you to fall in love, you're going to find that you're not staying in love, right? Now, lest you think that this is, just Vince's idea or maybe the best current practices in marriage, let me show you that this is actually a biblical idea, that God gives us this idea in the Bible. So a real interesting place where we find it too. If you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put the verse on the screen so you're fine. If you want a Bible, if you need a Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro bar in the back of the room here. And so just stop and we'll give you one. So here's the deal. Deuteronomy is a book of law. You know, like when people say, man, the Bible says full of laws and God gives all these laws. That's actually not true. There's mostly not laws. But Deuteronomy is a book of laws. And so here's God kind of laying down the law for how he wants people to live. And check out what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5. He says this. He says, if a man has recently married, he must not be sent to war or have any other duty laid on him. For 1 year, he is to be free to stay at home and bring happiness to the wife he has married. Isn't God cool? Like, this is what, these are the kind of laws that God puts in the Bible. So God says, listen, if you've gotten married and you kind of pursued this woman and now, you know, you made the love connection and you're married, I want to make sure that you continue pursuing this woman so you can't go off to war. No long business trips. What you need to do is you need to stock up on candles and massage oils and Barry White CDs. Oh, yeah. And you need to stay at home and bring happiness to your wife. Think about this. God made it a law. Like that's how important your marriage is to God. And that's how much wisdom God has for us in the Bible. If we would just live his way, things would work. Marriage would work. God says, continue to focus on your spouse. Don't lose the focus on your spouse, even after you already have your spouse. Yeah, you could say we're married and we're good, but you're not. Stay focused on your spouse. In fact, the first year, you make this a habit. You build the habit in that we are going to make sure that we keep each other happy. We're going to focus on each other and continue to do all the things that helped us to fall in love in the first place. The problem is that most of us don't do this. Most married couples do not do this. Like I said, you know, most married couples, they pursue each other, they do all the things, and then they get married, and then they're done, right? And then our attention goes to other things, to our careers, or to, you know, we all of a sudden we have this baby now, right? And the baby needs attention, right? The baby needs to eat. The baby, there's stuff coming out of every hole in this baby's body, right? And so it's like we're giving all of our attention and love to the baby, which is great, except for maybe, probably, we're not giving enough love and attention to each other. And so all of a sudden it's like I used to love her, but I had to kill her kind of thing going on. And the Bible actually speaks to this as well. So let me show you another verse. It's in the very back of the Bible in Revelation. And this verse is actually not speaking about a marriage relationship. It's talking about a relationship with God. And so some of us might read this and go, that's what I need with God. But this verse and this wisdom we can totally apply to our marriages as well. It works equally well. And so Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It says this. It says, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Okay? Again, it's talking about your relationship with God, but let's apply it to marriage today. It works. He says, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And so the idea is this. If in your relationship you've lost that love and feeling, right? And those feelings we had, the butterflies have all died and it's just not working anymore. Here's the wisdom. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Remember how it used to be, right? Because the temptation is going to be this. The temptation is going to be to think, I married the wrong person, right? If it was the right person, our marriage would be great, but our marriage is bad, so I married the wrong person. No, you didn't. You didn't marry the wrong person. I mean, he used to be the right person, right? She's still the same person. You didn't marry the wrong person. You've just done marriage in the wrong way. You have the right person. And so remember, it says first, here's the first step. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Remember this person and who you used to look at them. Remember the person that you had and the love that you had. Remember how you used to do your relationship. What was it? What was it that caused you to fall in love with that person in the first place? Was it the dates and the talking and the sharing of feelings and doing things together and finding common interests? Remember the height from which you've fallen. And then the second bit of advice, it says repent. Repent. The word repent literally means to turn around. That's what the word repent means. It means to reorient yourself. And so what it says is, the way you've been doing this relationship is wrong, and so turn around and do it a different way. Reorient your relationship. Remember what you used to do, repent, turn around, reorient yourself. And then the third thing it says is, and do the things you did at first. Right? And so again, it's talking about God, but it works with marriage as well. Remember what you used to do. Remember how you used to make yourself look good, and you used to find the time to talk, and you used to go out on dates, and you used to make each other laugh, and you used to be willing to put up with his little idiosyncrasies, and you used to be willing to go to her movies. Repent. Do the things you did at first. And what you'll find is your marriage will go from a crappy love song to a good one. All right? And so let me give you three practical suggestions for this. It's three real practical suggestions for how you can kind of apply this to your marriage, all right? And again, if you're not married, if I were you, I would totally be taking notes, at least mental notes, and going, this is how I'm going to do my marriage. This is how I'm going to teach my kids to do marriage. This is how I'm going to help my friends to do marriage, all right? And so three practical suggestions. First, I'll tell you all three, a daily time, a weekly date, and an annual getaway. All right. So first, a daily time. So a daily time is when we're going to turn off the TV and shut down the computer. Some of you are like, I don't even remember the last time in my house the TV and computer weren't on. We're going to shut off both of those. And what we're going to do is we're just going to sit and look at each other and talk. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We're just going to say, man, how are you? What's new in your life? How is your day? And we're just going to talk, all right? And that's all we're going to do. We're not going to let anything distract us. And some of you, I realize, are going to say, we just don't have the time. 15 minutes a day, we don't have the time for that. Yes, you do. Yes, you have time to watch TV. You have time to surf the internet. You have time to read. You have the time. You just need to realize that your marriage is important enough to invest your time in, right? And listen, you are not going to have a relationship with Oprah Winfrey or the judges from American Idol for the next 30 years, okay? Only your spouse, right? Your computer is not going to get upset and feel neglected and leave you if you don't use it enough, right? Only your spouse will, right? And so you have the time. You just need to make the time. You need to realize, man, our relationship is important enough to sit down and talk and make sure that we know how each other are doing and our relationship is building and we have that kind of intimacy. So a daily time. Here's one suggestion for some of you. Put your kids to bed earlier. Especially when our kids were younger, people always thought my wife and I were weird because our kids went to bed earlier than everybody else's kids of the same age. And they'd be like, man, you guys are weird. And I would think and sometimes say, I'd be like, we're not weird. We're trying to have a good marriage. Like if our kids are up as late as we are, then what time does that leave us? And so I'll put them to bed at 4 p.m. if I have to. My marriage is important, right? And so if you have to, put your kids in bed. If you're like, they're too old, well then say, you know what? You don't have to go to bed, but you have to go up to your room and just you can read in your room or do whatever in your room. But we need our time, okay? So the first thing is daily time. The second thing is a weekly date. There was a survey taken recently, and they asked people, when was the last time you went on a date with your spouse? The average answer was 8 weeks ago. Which, honestly, actually, I was like, that's a little bit better than I thought it would be. But still, 8 weeks ago is not a good answer. When's the last time you went on a date with your spouse, if you're married? 8 weeks ago is not a good answer, okay? You need to go on a weekly date. Maybe what you could do is you could say, we're going to settle for 3 times a month. Like, that will be a bad month. We missed 1 week. 3 times a month might be like a minimum, but you're going to go on a weekly date. And here's a few tips for your date. Number one, no cell phone. Turn the cell phone off, or maybe just leave it on, but you're only going to answer it if it's the babysitter, you know, if you have kids. We're not going to be answering calls. We're not going to be texting other people. No cell phones. Number two, don't resolve issues on your date. Okay, your date is not the time to say, all right, so what are we going to do about this money issue we have, or how are we going to handle this? Dates are supposed to be fun. Like, this is a time where you get to actually enjoy each other. There is a time where you need to resolve important issues, but it's not on the date. Okay, so we're not going to talk about stuff that's going to get us upset on the date. We're just going to have fun together. And third, your date doesn't have to be expensive. I know some of you are like, we can't afford to go out on a date every week, right? It doesn't have to be expensive. Like your date can be, we're going to go and just watch the Bellagio fountains and then go out and split an ice cream, right? It doesn't have to be expensive. We're going to go hike at Red Rock and just walk around, and it's going to be a free date. We're just going to go to Starbucks and get a coffee and just sit and talk. It doesn't have to be expensive. Do you want to hear my plan? So my wife and I do a date every Friday, which is my day off, and our kids are in school from 9 to 2, so our date is from 9 to 2 on Fridays. Do you want to hear the date? I don't know if I can get this out. Do you want to hear the date that I proposed to my wife this Friday? This is our actual plan. My idea was that we would go and get free donuts at the car mechanic That's true. But we had to drop our car off. And so I was like, well, what are we going to do after we drop the car off at the car mechanic? She's like, I don't know. We could go out for breakfast or something. I'm like, they've got donuts. And so this was our plan on Friday, was we're going to drop our car off and then just hang out there and talk and eat the free donuts at the car mechanic. You guys now know more about me than I want you to. All right, I don't know if I can recover real well from telling you that. All right, but that's unfortunately a true story, and now you know why it's not so fun to be married to me. Yes, all right, and so here's the, I realize some of you are going to say, man, we go on a date, but we have kids, and we don't have a babysitter we can trust. Well, then find a babysitter you can trust. It's time. Your marriage is important enough for you to find a babysitter we can trust. You say, we can't afford to pay a babysitter. Then find some other couple here with kids and say, hey, can we swap babysitting? And we'll figure out some way to watch each other's kids. And here's what we want to do. To help you get started down this road, and hopefully you're going to build a habit for yourself, but to help you get started, because our church really does care about your marriage, we are going to do something this Friday night. We're going to have free babysitting here at the venue from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Friday night. When you leave today, there's going to be somebody at the door handing tickets out for free babysitting. If you don't need free babysitting, you say no thanks. But if you have kids, grab one of those tickets, bring it back on Friday night, hand it to them, and we are going to have people from the children's ministry and good people here to watch your kids from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. You can't come back at like midnight, okay? Your kid will be sitting all by himself out in the parking lot. They left me at 9. But 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., you can go out and get something to eat or go to whatever you want to do. But free babysitting here, so you'll get your ticket on the way out. Enjoy that. Start getting in that habit. But you need to figure out a way to get babysitting on a regular basis because you need to go on a weekly date. So first, a daily time. Second, a weekly date. And third, an annual getaway. An annual getaway. Again, I realize money, it doesn't have to be like we're going to Europe. It doesn't have to be a cruise, right? What it could be is we're going to get one night at a hotel down at the Strip or in Pahrump. Maybe not Pahrump. Let's not do Pahrump. But we're going to get a night at a hotel on the Strip. Now, here's your question. Why would we do that? Why would we get a hotel room like a mile away from our house? That doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Because here's why. Your house reminds you of all your commitments, and it reminds you of work, and it reminds you of everything going on in life. A hotel room does not. And it's going to feel completely different if you get the hotel room, and you're going to be like, well, we're away, and it doesn't matter if you're just a couple blocks from your house. It will feel different, and you can go walk around and go out to eat or whatever, but an annual getaway, okay? This one time of year where, man, we're just going to get away at least for a day or two, and we're going to escape all the commitments and all the craziness of life and just focus on each other and just have a lot of fun, all right? Daily time, weekly date, annual getaway. Now, let's talk about your objections, because right now or when you leave, you're going to start going, yeah, we can't do that. I mean, it's good advice, but we can't do that, and here's why. Because your objections are not good, all right? So let's talk about them before you leave. One is you're going to say, it's just too much money. No, it's not. It doesn't have to be very expensive. And even if it is, find the money to do this, okay? Because here's your choice, really. You can spend the money now on romancing each other and having a great marriage, or you can spend it later on marriage counseling or later on court fees, right? That's your choice. Spend $100 a night now to get a hotel room, or $100 a week on marriage counseling, or thousands of dollars on a divorce, right? It's worth the little bit of money that you'll have to spend to do this. You have the money. Number two, we don't have the time. We just don't have the time. Yes, you do. Make the time. You have the time. When things arise, when emergency happens in life, it's amazing how we can find the time to deal with it. And your marriage is that important. So find the time, make the time, and do this. Third, we're just too tired. I mean, we could go on a date on Friday nights, but we're just too tired from the week. And we could go on an annual getaway, but just life is just, it's just too tired. Here's the deal with that. Typically, when you say that, that's not a physical tired. That's a mental tired, right? That's not a, like, my body can't do it. It's just like, I just can't stand the thought of doing it. Well, here's the deal. When you get your relationship to where it needs to be, when you go from, I used to love her, but I had to kill her, to near far, or wherever you are, my heart will go on. When you get to that, your dates and your annual getaway will energize you. It won't drain you. You won't say, I'm too tired. You'll be like, man, I'm really tired. I can't wait for our date because it's going to bring energy to my life. Okay? You're not too tired. The other reason you might say is, it's just too much time away from the kids. We can't go on a date every week. It's too much. We can't go away for 2 days because it's just too much time away from the kids. You know what? They'll live. They will survive you going on a weekly date and an annual getaway. And some of you may not realize this, but let me tell you some real good information to have. Do you understand that the best way you can be a great parent to your kids is by having a great marriage? That's the best thing you can do for your kids. A lot of people don't understand that. What your kids need from you more than anything else is the security of knowing that my mom and dad really love each other. That's what they need. And so do this for them. Don't use them as your excuse not to. Do this for them because they need you to do this. All right? So your objections are not good. I just overcame them all. Got it? But the reasons to do this are really good. The reasons to do this are really good. Like one reason to do this is having a great marriage is really great. Like when you have a great marriage, it's awesome. It's better than having a good job. It's better than making money. It's better than your team winning the game. Having a great marriage is great. And if this is what will help you to have a great marriage, you want this. Second reason to do this is that having a bad marriage is really bad. I mean, there is very little in life that's worse than living with somebody that you don't want to live with. That's about as low as it gets. And so you want to escape that. And if right now you're like, that's exactly where I'm at, well, then the path out of that is to do this. And so let's do this. The third reason, again, is it's the best thing you can do for your kids. Why should you follow this plan? Because it's the best thing you can do for your kids. They deserve that from you. You give them a great marriage because not only does it give them security, but the reality is that they're going to follow your example when they get married. Right? It's the only marriage they've ever seen. And so don't set an example for them of a marriage with no love, no hugs, no kisses, no touching. Right? That's not the marriage you want for your kids someday. And so set an example of a marriage where, man, we love each other, right? And the fourth reason to follow this plan and do this is the sex. Yes, that's what I said. So here's the deal with this. Guys, do you realize, guys, that that for a woman, sex is the culmination of everything else that's happened in that relationship during the day, right? So here's one thing that a lot of married couples say, and as a pastor, sometimes you get to do marriage counseling, and you'll hear this a lot. They'll say, here's the weird thing. Like, things were really hot for us before we got married. Like, we could barely keep our hands off each other. But then once we got married, I don't know what happened. Like, there's no romance, and we, you know, there's no sex life, and I don't know. And so I guess marriage is the problem. No, marriage is not the problem. Here's the problem. Back when you were dating, guys, you were pursuing her, right? You were making her laugh, and you were buying her flowers, and you were telling her she looks nice, and you were going to the chick flick, and you were taking her out to eat, and all these different things, and all that culminated in her being attracted to you. Sorry, stud, it wasn't the way you looked. Okay? What happened then? You got married and you stopped pursuing her. Now I'm not trying to make her laugh and I'm not looking my best and I'm not talking to her for hours and we're not going out on dates anymore. And so the problem isn't that you gained a few pounds. And the problem isn't marriage. The problem is that you're no longer pursuing her. All right? And so if you want to get things going in the bedroom, follow this plan. Daily time, weekly date, annual getaway. Unless you think, wow, Vince just took this too far, right? And this isn't biblical. Now he's just saying whatever. Maybe he's hoping his wife hears this or something. Let me show you where it says this in the Bible, okay? And so there's a book in the Bible called Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. It's a Bible book with two names. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, we'll put it on the screen. The Bible says this. This is a conversation between a husband and his wife, like a newly married husband and wife. And you're going to see the husband call his wife sister. That's slang. They're not actually brothers and sisters. This isn't that weird. So starting in verse 9, it says this. You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. And so do you see how even though these two people are already married, you kind of get the idea that they're still pursuing each other, right? This husband is still pursuing his wife, even though he already has his wife. And what's it leading to? Well, I don't know for sure, but somehow he knows what's under her tongue. Okay? That's in there. So if you follow this plan, you continue to pursue your spouse, even after you already have your spouse, what's going to happen is, man, you're going to have a great marriage. You're going to avoid a bad marriage. Your kids are going to have this great example of what marriage should look like, and they're going to follow your example, and they're going to feel secure knowing mom and dad love each other, and they're committed to each other, and things might just start hopping in the bedroom for the first time in a long time. Those are all good reasons to do this, right? Right? Yeah. All right, and so here's the deal. I want to tell you, and I want to like really speak to you, and you know who you are. I want to tell you that there is hope for your marriage. There is hope for your marriage. And you might think, man, there's not hope for my marriage. I'm talking to you. There is hope for your marriage. The problem is not marriage. The problem is not the person you married. The problem is the way you've been doing marriage. Okay? And so remember the height from which you've fallen. Remember what it was like. Remember who you married. Repent. Just means turn around. Do things different, and do the things you did at first. And I'll tell you that this works not just because it's in the Bible and not just because Vince is saying so, but I can tell you that from experience. When my wife and I first got married, I would say like the first couple years we had like an A-minus marriage. Not perfect, but really good. And then, just kind of over time, gradually, we kind of lost our focus on each other. And we just stopped pursuing each other. Nothing bad happened, no big things. It just, like we just stopped the dates, and we stopped the conversations, and just wasn't the same. And we went down to, like, maybe a C-minus marriage. It wasn't horrible, but it was not really good. And so we went to marriage counseling. We just went a few times, but in one of the first sessions, the marriage counselor said, well, was your marriage ever good? We said, yeah, it was. And he said, well, what was it like? What was your relationship like? And so we described life back then. We said, oh, man, we used to go on dates. We used to do this. We would sit and play Yahtzee just so we could be doing something with our hands, and we would just talk for hours as we played Yahtzee. And we would do this, and we would do that. And he would say, well, do that. He said, that's the problem. Do that again. We looked at each other, and we're like, maybe he's right. And so we went out and we said, all right, this week we're going to go on a date. We're going to talk. We're going to play Yahtzee and talk while we play Yahtzee. We're going to whatever. And I'm just going to be really honest. It was awkward. It was actually awkward. Like, we went on a date and it's like, what are we going to talk about? And it was weird because we never used to have problems. We'd go on dates and have fun and talk all night. And now it was like, I don't know what to talk about with you. And it was awkward, but we said, well, we're committed to our marriage, so we're going to keep doing this. And you know what happened? I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks into it, it was not awkward anymore. I mean, things change that fast. We went C-minus back to A-minus. We can never have an A because I'm part of the marriage and I come up with ideas like going to the car mechanic for a date. I can't believe I told you that. There's hope for your marriage. And just two things. Follow this plan and this is the bigger thing, you need God in the middle of your marriage. Like if you follow this plan and don't have God, things are going to get better. But this plan and God, there is amazing hope for you. God's got a great dream for your marriage, and it will come true in your marriage. You know, the deal is that God is pursuing you, and he's always been pursuing you. And what we need to do is pursue him, just like we pursue our spouse. You pursue God and your spouse. You make God the center of your marriage. Wow. Wow. There's a verse in the Old Testament in Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor's its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. I thought I had that memorized, maybe not. But that's the key. Like you need God. You need God the center of your marriage, the foundation of your marriage, that he's going to come first in my life. I'm going to pursue him, make him the center of my life. And we're going to, as a marriage, we're going to put him in the center of our marriage and make him first in our marriage. And you do that, man, there's more than hope for your marriage. So I want to pray for your marriages. After we pray, we got a couple announcements, and then we'll get out of here. But I want to pray for you. And for those of you who are not married yet, maybe you're feeling like this made me feel left out, or maybe you're divorced. Man, there's hope for your future, too. And if God wants you to be married, and that's your desire, man, there's hope for that. And now you have a good plan to follow. And so remember those tickets on your way out. We'd love to give you a fun date night this Friday before you figure out who your regular babysitter is going to be. So let's pray. God, thanks so much that you care not just about, you know, do we get to heaven or not, but you care about every aspect of our lives. You're this loving, perfect Father who wants to parent us. And so in the middle of your book of laws of Deuteronomy, here's advice on how to do marriage right and how to make marriage work. Thank you, God, for being a God like that. God, my prayer is that for the people in this room who are married, that we would follow your plan for marriage, that we would keep the focus on our spouse, we would continue to pursue our spouse even after we have our spouse. And God, I also pray for all of us that we would pursue you. God, that we would take the steps we need to take to put you in the middle of our lives, center of our lives, foundation of our lives, first in our lives. Because without you, nothing really works. Thanks for being a great God who loves us. Help us to know what it means to love you in return. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.